Romans 2:4 says that the kindness of God leads to repentance. Mm-hmm. It's not the anger of God that leads to repentance.
Yep.
He recognizes that to produce a people and raise up a generation of believers who are able to, as Paul says in Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God mm-hmm. and love the way Christ loved.
Yeah.
And so if he wants us to be imitating him, he's going to lead with those very qualities. He's going to lead with kindness.
Right.
He doesn't have to scare us into being loving people. He mm-hmm. loves us into love.
Yeah. Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Making History. My name's Katie.
And I'm Brian.
And we are the Hesses. Brian, how's it going?
Great.
Good.
Great job on the intro.
Hey, thanks. Trying something new. Switch it up on you guys a little bit. It only took like 6 times. There's a formula, you guys.
There's
a formula. You don't even know.
There's a formula. Maybe one day we'll include some like bloopers or some...
I think we should
Rough
because
takes.
There's so many of them, mostly on my end, but hey.
Things are good.
Yeah.
It's like, I think we've kind of skipped spring. We're heading straight into summer.
Straight to it. Yeah. It's like
crazy.
70 in the morning already. And because I feel like last week it was still like 38 in the morning or 40 degrees in the morning. So we still had kind of like early spring, almost wintry.
Yeah.
Degrees in the morning, and then it turns into spring in the afternoon. But now it's like we're spring at night and then we're summer in the day.
Yeah.
And it's April.
Yeah.
The beginning of April.
I went for a walk at like, I think it was like 9.
Yeah.
When I went for a walk, maybe a little earlier than that. It was probably about 9. And it was already in the low 70s. It's crazy. And as I left the house, I don't know how long I walked for. It was quite a half hour.
20, 30 minutes.
When I left the house, it felt amazing.
Yeah.
And when it was breezy the whole time, the sun was low enough that there was still a lot of like shade from all the trees in the houses.
Sure.
And then as I was walking back, there was a lot less shade and it was like, it was hot already.
It's like high noon already. I feel like spring is a very cherished like 2 days.
Yeah.
And then it's summer.
Yeah.
And just, it's already humid somehow. I don't know how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, we're just straight into summer, which I love summer, but I wish we had a little bit more time of that, like perfectly cool.
Yeah.
But not too cold. Yeah.
It's, yep.
But we just don't get it here in Georgia.
No. I'd love a couple weeks of just like 65.
Yes.
Cool 65.
The perfect weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, oh well.
But we get the, right now we're enjoying both the downside of the heat of summer plus all the worst of the pollen of spring.
It's true. Listen, my goodness.
For people who don't know what pollen is like in like the North Georgia area, it is unbelievable.
I hope you never have to experience it.
I mean, growing up, I grew up in like outside of Chicago.
Yeah.
And so who cared about pollen? We didn't talk about it. We didn't notice it.
Yeah.
There was no pollen count. No one was ever talking about the pollen count in Illinois. But no, we have one of our cars that we keep parked outside most of the time. And it's like a maroonish red.
Yeah.
And you can see the whole thing coated in yellow.
It's disgusting.
It rained last week and the way our driveway kind of slopes down toward one corner, all the water from the rain had like pooled down in that little bottom corner.
Yeah.
And it was just like foaming with yellow.
Yep.
It was like bright,
it's like
glowing
what
yellow.
What kind of like biohazardous material is happening in our yard?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, it's pollen.
It's pollen.
I was working out in the yard yesterday and when I was like blowing off like the grass and leaves, it was literally just like poof, with like pollen in the air. I was like, this probably isn't good for my health, but here we are. Ugh, it's rough.
It is really gross.
But on the upside, everything is beautiful right now.
Yes.
Grass is green. All the flowers are blooming. trees are blooming. Like, it's so pretty.
Yeah.
And so there is an upside to pollen that it makes things really beautiful. But it also
but at what
is.
Cost?
Right. But is it worth it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I do enjoy grilling season again.
Yes.
Maybe 2 years ago now, a year or two ago, we got a Blackstone grill, and that's super fun.
I think it was last year.
That's right.
Yeah,
it was last summer. Mm-hmm. We got a Blackstone.
Yep.
And we've had grills. I've never really had a grill that I like cared about.
Sure.
That I like wanted to take care of.
Yeah.
And so we got a Blackstone. I'm like, okay, I want to take care of this grill.
Yeah.
I want to keep it nice.
Mm-hmm. And it has been so good. You've made some really good meals on that. I also love when you have a good grill because I love when you make dinner.
Yeah.
Sneaky.
I love it. Well, last night we made burgers.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the grill, we did the onions and the bacon. And we get at least for me and you, we use the Wagyu beef.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize how different it was going to be when we first bought it, because we got it from Costco, because they sell just the normal ground beef and then the packs of the Wagyu beef.
Yep.
So one time we were like, oh, we'll try it.
Yeah.
And we made burgers and I was like, I'm never going back.
Yeah.
It was so different.
It's so good. Yeah. It's delicious. I think last night was like perfect. Perfection.
It was very good.
It was a very good burger.
Yeah.
Well done.
Woo.
Well, medium rare done. Well done to you.
Okay. Okay. No. Nope.
Dad jokes.
Nope. Disqualified. All right. So let's continue the conversation on Love Is. Last week, if you're just tuning in for the first time, last week we talked about how love is patient. It is not passive.
Mm-hmm.
And our inspiration for that was from just interacting with people on social media.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a lot of misconceptions about what it means to like parent with love as opposed to fear,
mm-hmm.
and to pursue connection over the goal of compliance.
Yes.
Because it seems like a lot of people think that in order to have kids who are like obedient and who respond well,
mm-hmm.
and who actually listen, that you have to make them really scared of you.
Yeah.
And I get, to be fair, and this is one of the things I've gone back and forth with lots of people on, because a lot of people love to also bring up the Bible verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yes, love that.
Yes.
That is very true.
We agree.
We agree. But the word for fear in the Old Testament, at least in that specific verse, is, I don't know if I'm going to say this right, yirah.
Sure.
Y-I-R-A-H.
Okay.
And it means reverence and it means awe.
Mm.
And so there's a sense of like, yes, we need to have reverence for the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to always be just living in awe of him, mm-hmm. and have a reverence for him.
Yeah.
And that is a very healthy type of fear, because I think that that type of fear reveals that we are like acknowledging the reality of who he is.
Yeah.
We are acknowledging his power, his transcendence.
Right.
There is none like him.
Right.
And so when you start to grasp just the nature of his vastness, of his power, of his glory, I think that can only inspire feelings of reverence and awe.
Yeah. And I don't think he would ever want it to be like a lot of times our perception of fear, of like a cowering.
Yes.
Of like, you know, like shying away, because that's the last thing that he wants. He's so after connection.
Yeah.
So like, why would he want us to be afraid of him? Because that type of fear, mm-hmm. doesn't foster connection.
Yes.
That fosters, like we've talked about so many times, like survival.
Yes.
Like, I'm just going to do what I need to do to like survive you, because I'm so scared of you.
Right.
I don't know what you're going to do to me.
Yeah.
That is not at all like the God that I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants that connection and that closeness. And if you're afraid of somebody and you're cowering away from them, you're not going to want to be close.
Right.
You're going to want to be as far away. It's like at a safe distance,
mm-hmm.
from them. And so it just doesn't make any sense if you have read the scriptures in their entirety.
Yeah.
For him to want us to be afraid of him.
Right. And that brings us to another verse we talked about last week, which is perfect love casts out fear.
Yes.
1 John 4.
Yep.
So I think taking a look at both of those verses and kind of holding both of them in tension,
mm-hmm.
you can recognize that, yes, there is a healthy form of fear.
Yeah.
And I don't mind that type of fear even in the home.
Right.
Because I do think that it's beneficial for our kids to have like reverence mm-hmm. for us as yeah. their parents,
yeah,
as
absolutely.
The authority figures. Like yeah. we've talked about this 1,000 times, that there should be no question in our kids' mind who's in charge,
mm-hmm.
right? We're in charge.
Yes.
They need to know that.
Right.
We need to know that.
Yes.
And, but at the same time, there is the kind of fear that the Lord's love intends to cast out from us.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the type of fear that creates distance. It creates disconnection,
yeah.
hinders trust.
Yeah.
And it doesn't serve our relationships well.
Yeah.
So when we talk about wanting to produce or wanting to raise kids who are obedient as a response to love,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to compliance as a response to fear,
yeah.
that's the type of fear we're talking about.
Yes.
Because it doesn't serve us well.
Absolutely.
And even to bring that back into the context of like just us as Christians, thinking about God as a father. If you are living with the type of fear towards the Father where you don't, it's not that you have a reverence and an awe of him, it's that you are scared of him, then it's possible that even your like spiritual activity, whether it's going to church, mm-hmm. reading the Bible, praying, if you're doing those things because you're afraid of what he would do to you if you didn't, that's a red flag
yeah.
in that relationship.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know if I would call it a relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we're living in the new covenant. And so he doesn't punish us when we don't do the things we ought to do.
Right.
Rather, and this is what we're getting into in this episode, rather he loves us and mm-hmm. he shows and pours out his kindness upon us
yeah.
as a way of motivating us to live in his ways mm-hmm. and to live in the kingdom.
Yes. Yeah, that's so good.
So
yeah,
that brings us to today's topic. Love is kind, but it's not always nice.
Not always. You're like, wait.
Right.
And hear the questions. Like, wait, isn't being nice being kind? Isn't being kind being nice? Like, hold on.
And they're not the same.
No.
So let's talk about that.
Let's do it.
First things first. Romans 2:4 says that the kindness of God leads to repentance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the anger of God that leads to repentance.
Yep.
So he understands that to produce a people that is loving, mm-hmm. that would love the way he loves, he actually has to lead with love.
Yeah.
To produce a people and raise up a generation of believers who are able to, as Paul says in Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God
mm-hmm.
and love the way Christ loved.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so if he wants us to be imitating him, he's going to, like I said, he's going to lead with those very qualities. He's going
right.
to lead with kindness.
Right.
He's going to lead with grace and mercy and love mm-hmm. and gentleness. And he's going to allow his, I guess you could say, behavior towards us to be the thing that shapes that very behavior in us.
Right.
He doesn't
absolutely.
Have to scare us into being kind.
Yes.
He doesn't have to scare us into being loving people. He mm-hmm. loves us into love.
Yeah. Which makes so much more sense. Like when you put it that way, like it just explains it so beautifully and clearly that like if the Lord was trying to scare us into doing these things and living this way, how in the world would we know how to live?
Right.
But because he's modeling these things for us, we have a perfect picture to mirror and mm-hmm. to live just like. And so it's easy to like look at him and be like, oh, this is how you yeah. want us to treat each other.
Mm-hmm.
He says, love one another. We're supposed to love one another. We're not supposed to scare each other into compliance or scare each other into like, I'm going to be as mean to you until you love me. And I'm going to be as like scary as possible so that I can make you do A, B, and C. And yeah, it just makes so much more sense that he would model that behavior for us rather than act completely contrary to who he wants us to be.
Right. To try to force us to be kind.
Yes.
By threatening us
right.
with punishment.
Yep.
It doesn't work.
Right. And so like when you think about it that way, whenever you see like parenting styles and like we have fallen into this, you know, we've had times of doing this as well. When you see that parenting style of just like the authoritarian style of like, I'm going to be as big and mean, as scary as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect you to be kind and patient right. and gentle. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't work
at all.
And here's what's interesting. I was actually thinking about this morning as I was on my prayer walk. I was thinking about the cycle that parents often create where, let's say one of our kids does something, let's use Izzy for example.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Izzy does something that we don't like. And it could be that she hit her sister,
mm-hmm.
that she, I don't know, was mean to the cat.
Yeah.
Just something. She did something that in our opinion needs to be corrected.
Sure.
Let's say our response is to get really angry and to like spank her, yell at her.
Yeah.
And what's happening in that moment is her brain is making the connection that something happened that mom or dad didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they dealt with that was to get angry and to mm-hmm. yell or to get angry and hit.
Yeah.
So oftentimes we're not teaching the lesson we think that we're teaching.
Right.
Oftentimes the lesson we think we're teaching is don't hit your sister.
Mm-hmm.
But the lesson they're really learning is this is how we deal with things that we don't right. like.
Yeah.
So then what happens? The kid makes that connection in their brain. Well, this is how mom and dad deal with things they don't like. So
mm-hmm.
that kind of reinforces they're already like, they already have a proclivity towards that.
Yeah.
But now they're learning, oh, this is how mom deals with it. This is how dad deals with it.
Right.
So the next time something happens that they don't like, their mm-hmm. response is to do what mom or dad did,
yep.
is to get mad and yep. yell and get mad and hit. And then mom and dad do the same thing because they don't like that the kid is doing that. And it's this cycle. It's
yeah.
the cycle that goes round and round.
Mm-hmm.
And parents think that they're trying to break that cycle
right.
by getting angrier and scarier.
Yeah.
It's like, actually, you have to model the thing that you want your kids to do.
Yes. Yep.
Oh.
And so the parents get caught in this cycle of thinking that something is wrong with the kid. It's actually, the kid is learning from you
mm-hmm.
how to respond to things that you don't like.
Yeah.
And if you want them to have a different response, you're going to have to figure out as a parent how to have a different response.
Absolutely. Yep. So that they can see, okay, I messed up here.
Mm-hmm.
Mom and dad are showing me a different way to handle this rather than they're just showing me that what I'm doing is exactly what they're doing. So this must be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have that exact same response, you're just giving them permission to continue acting that way.
Yeah.
Because your actions
right.
are going to show us to speak way louder than whatever words you're spewing out in the moment. Because
yep.
especially when like the tension is high, emotions are high, anything you say pretty much is going to go in one ear and out the other.
Yeah.
And I have a really bad habit of doing this where like in the moment, I just want to explain away all the reasons why we shouldn't be acting
yes.
this way. But that is helping nobody.
Right.
And I realize like I get caught in this cycle of just like, okay, well, this is why you shouldn't do it. And it's hurting your sister's feelings. And so you need to do this and not that and this and not that. They're not listening to that.
Yeah.
They're watching you
mm-hmm.
and they are observing how you handle situations.
Yeah.
And then they're going to mirror that. You can say it as many times as you want, but until you start showing it in your actions, it's not going to actually settle in.
Yeah.
And that can be really frustrating because mm-hmm. for me, I'm like, this is such, like, there have been times where I'm like, man, I nailed that. Like, I explained that so well, this is definitely going to set in this yeah. time. Like she's definitely going to listen and learn
yeah.
from this. Like that explanation was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
yeah,
nope, there's literally no change.
Yeah. And I think there is a time to explain.
For
of
sure.
course.
Yes.
But, and I've actually seen other people talk about this. People who maybe are even more in the world of like psychology and neuroscience mm-hmm. than we are. That when, like you said, when tensions are high, when like anxiety levels are high
yeah.
in kids, whatever part of their brain that is able to receive whatever
yeah.
like lecture you're trying to deliver,
mm-hmm.
they can't.
Yep.
like just that,
like,
that part of the brain is offline.
Yep. You right? become the Peanuts teacher at that point.
Yeah. So the lecture, yeah, the high tension lecture doesn't work as well as we want it to.
Yeah.
It just doesn't land.
Yeah. And like you said, there is a time for that explanation. So
yes.
like in the moment when those times, when those tensions and emotions and anxiety is high, model it. Stay calm,
mm-hmm.
stay level-headed. Yep. You're not moved as a parent
yeah.
by all the emotions going on in the room. And then later when the child has had a moment to like calm down,
mm-hmm.
take a deep breath, remove themselves from whatever situation is going on, then you can have a conversation. And I think you know, I just realized, I think a lot of people may kind of equate it to like how you treat like your pets in the home, where like if they mess up, if you catch them in the moment, sure, you can discipline them. But like if something happened like last week and you didn't even realize it until then, you can't be like in our case, Muffin is our cat. I can't be like, Muffin?
Yeah.
Did you scratch the chair last week? You know, like she's not going to know what the heck I'm talking about. But with kids, they're able to retain that, like the scenario in their minds. And so like you can go back and have a conversation with them. Like, hey, do you remember when this happened? Let's talk about it, you know, and they're able to actually receive the words that you are trying to help them with.
Yes. That's great. Yeah. Okay. Let's get back on topic.
Yes.
Kind.
Kind.
Nice. We're so good at rabbit trails.
We really are. It's wild.
Okay. So here are some of the differences. We mentioned this a little bit last week, but when you talk about it again, I think it's really important that we identify and draw distinctions between the two.
Mm-hmm.
First, let's just talk about love. And I like how Dallas Willard defines love. And I don't know if this probably is not his definition, but it's just in reading his books. This is how he talks about it. That love is, to love somebody is to will their good, right? Mm-hmm. So loving is willing the good of another.
Yeah.
So it's using your will for the sake and benefit and for the good of another person.
Mm-hmm.
So if love is kind, then an act of kindness towards another person is to do something for their good, for their sake.
Yeah.
And you're thinking about them, you're valuing them,
mm-hmm.
and it's about what you can do for them. Sometimes we can do things that on the outside look like kindness,
mm-hmm.
but is often not motivated by my love for them. Rather, it is motivated by what I think I could get in return.
Yeah.
And that's when kindness starts to fade away and niceness starts to enter the picture.
Right.
Because it's easy to be really nice to somebody for what you want from them.
Mm-hmm. Just all about what you want.
This has been a conversation we've had a lot of times with Nora.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes it's something that she wants from us. And that's what kids do. They, every day, all the time, they have things they want
from
their
parents. They want a snack. They want to watch a show. They want to go outside. They want to read a book together. Yep.
So sometimes Nora will just say she wants to play Xbox.
Yeah.
We'll use that as an example. She wants to play video games. And she'll be like, okay, if you guys, and especially like this usually comes off of the heels of her like having a bit of an attitude.
Yeah.
Oftentimes she'll ask to play Xbox and she'll say, if you let me play, I'll be super nice. Like the rest of the day, I'll be super nice. And we're like, okay.
Interesting.
But you shouldn't want to be nice or even like kind.
Yeah.
Because you have gotten your way.
Mm-hmm.
And so like you and I are trying to figure out how do we teach our kids and how do we instill in them the desire to be kind for others, regardless of what you get in return, that you are kind, not because you think you'll get something good in return, but you're kind just because that's just who we are.
Yeah.
Like we're called to love people. We're called to be kind to people.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus never said, be kind on the basis of what you'll get in return.
Right.
Right. He talked about turning the other cheek.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if somebody asked you to go 1 mile, go with them too.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was always go doing more than was required of you for the sake of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like we don't yet have the perfect answer. Like how do we instill that in our kids other than to just do our best to model it. That.
Yeah.
And to show them what it looks like to just be kind to people because that's who we want to be.
Right.
We want to be the type of people who are kind.
Yeah.
But oftentimes our kids try to reward us with niceness.
Yeah.
As a result of getting what they want.
Right. Which is honestly like it's brilliant. But it's also a little scary that it's like, wait, how is this already in your brain?
Yeah. But
this could be a potential bargain.
Yes. But that's kind of the nature of being nice. Is that being nice is often manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other thing about being nice. And you brought this up, or you mentioned this before we even started talking. It's perfect. That sometimes, and we'll use parents as an example, parents are nice to kids, not kind, but nice, for the sake of avoiding conflict.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to be just the nicest mom ever. And anything that you want, I'm going to say yes, because I don't want you to have a tantrum. Mm-hmm.
Parents, in an effort to be really nice to their kids and in an effort to diffuse maybe tantrum, mm-hmm. or like we said, to avoid any kind of conflict. Mm-hmm. If there's something that a kid wants and they're throwing a tantrum over it, to a parent who doesn't have a long-term vision, mm-hmm. for their kids, who only really is just trying to survive that moment,
yeah,
they may give the kid what they want.
Right.
They'll give them the cookie. And the parent may think, how nice am I?
Right. I'm just the best.
Right. Like, yeah. My kid was throwing a tantrum and now they're not, and I gave them a cookie, and
yep.
I was so nice in that moment.
Nailing this parenting thing.
But here's the thing. If you are giving your kids what they want because they're throwing a tantrum, mm-hmm. and you want to try to diffuse the tantrum by giving them what they want, that's not kind.
No.
Because kindness, as we said, leads to repentance. Mm-hmm. Repentance is to change the way we think.
Yep.
It's to call people to a higher way of thinking. That's what the Lord does, mm-hmm. right? By being kind to us, he is calling us to a higher way of thinking.
Yeah.
And as a byproduct, a higher way of living and behaving. Mm-hmm. And so if we want our kids long-term goals, if we want our kids to grow up and become adults who are capable of not getting what they want and finding a way to be okay with that, mm-hmm. then we're going to have to start teaching them now that it's possible to not get what you want and you're going to be okay.
Be totally fine. Yeah.
I get you wanted the cookie, but dinner's in like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about a cookie after dinner.
Right.
But right now, I'm not going to give you one.
Yeah.
And however you need to process that information, if you need to throw a tantrum, that's fine.
Yeah.
If you need to sit on the couch or do whatever you need to do, throw your tantrum.
Yeah.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to give you a cookie right now.
Right. Still is not going to yield the results that you are hoping to get from this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like we, both of us have asked that question, like, hey, do you think, like, does this ever work for you to get what you want by having this response? And they'll be like, no. I'm like, okay, well, you can keep being, you know, you can keep having this attitude, or you could move on and find something else to do, mm-hmm. right now. And then we'll talk about whatever you want later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't think there's ever a case where it's kind to give a kid what they want to appease their angry outburst, mm-mm. their tantrum.
No.
Because they need to learn that that's not the best way. Mm-hmm. That's not the best way to get things, and to go through life.
Yep.
And if you don't learn that as a kid, you very well may carry that into adulthood, mm-hmm. where you have your own form of tantrums when things don't go your way.
Yep.
And we want better than that for our kids.
Absolutely.
So they'll get the cookie when the time is right.
Right. Yeah. The cookie's coming. Just not,
right. It's not right
5 minutes before dinner time.
Yeah. Eat dinner and then we'll talk about the cookie. Yep. I'm not saying you're never going to have one, but just not right now.
Yeah.
So process that information however you need to.
Yeah.
If you need my help, I'm here to help.
Yes.
But if you need to go off and have your tantrum, you mm-hmm. can do that too.
Right. And that's like, I mean, you can think about it too with like an example for older kids. If you are past the young kid time where like if your kid has made a friend that maybe not be like the best influence and they continue asking like, hey, can I go hang out with this person? Hey, can I go like out to eat with this person, whatever it is. Yeah. And the answer is just like a no, because you see things a little bit more clearly than maybe your child is in the moment. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that can be super disappointing. Being told no is disappointing. I think we need to realize that too, as parents, that like the reality of being told no is not fun, even as an adult. And so like what we're doing by when we have to tell our kids no, we're helping them like move past or move through that disappointment and like be able to process it in a better way rather than like throwing a tantrum, like you said. But going back to my example, like when you tell, if you have to tell your teenager no to hanging out with a certain person, that really is being kind.
Yeah.
Because you see that the influence of this person is not going to be for the betterment of your child. And mm-hmm. so you can see that. Well, they definitely can't, because I remember, like, as a kid, having people like in my life that probably were not like the best influences. Mm-hmm. And my mom would say, like, hey, like, I don't know that we need to be around this person so much, you know, or, you know, like, we can love them still.
Yeah.
But maybe from a little bit of a distance, you know, not investing so much time here. And that felt really annoying at the time. Mm-hmm. But now looking back, I'm like, oh no, you saw that, you know, who I was spending time with, you understood that that actually makes more of an impact on my life than I did in the moment.
Yeah.
And so it was in your kindness that you told me no. And that caused me to think about my relationships in a different way. And so, like you mentioned earlier, like, a change our way of thinking. Repentance is to change your way of thinking, and calling, the Lord is calling us to a higher way of thinking. And so by being told no, I was kind of forced to think, like, okay, well, why doesn't my mom want me to hang out with this person? Right. And then I was like, okay, well, maybe here, like, maybe this is why, maybe this is why, you know, just trying to like analyze the situation. And then looking back at the people that I wanted to hang out with that I was not really like allowed to hang out with it a lot, I'm like, oh, now I get it.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Part of growing up and maturing is learning how to see things from a bigger picture.
Yes.
And learning how to develop long-term vision.
Mm-hmm.
Because kids are only able to think about what they want right now in the moment.
Yes.
And that's something that takes a long time to grow out of and to develop the ability to see beyond the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So kids only know what they want right now.
Yeah.
I want the cookie and I want it now.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, no is disappointing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about disappointment. I don't actually believe that we're meant to avoid disappointment. Mm-hmm. I think we're meant to learn how to overcome disappointment.
Absolutely.
Because disappointment is the non-fulfillment of a desire.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are going through life avoiding disappointments, that only happens one of two ways. Either we don't have desires,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think that's a good way to live.
Yeah.
I think that we're meant to have things that we want, that we're pursuing, that we're going after, or we have desires, and those desires are met immediately all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Instant gratification is not always the best thing.
Right.
Delayed gratification is so helpful
mm-hmm.
in teaching kids to have like longer term vision for their desires and to know that it's okay to want something and to not have it right now.
Yes.
It's okay to want something and to have to work for it or to have to wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so beneficial for kids to learn that lesson.
Yes. And I think we've talked about this in past episodes about how desires change a lot and shift a lot. And especially when you're a kid, like if you see like Nora, for example, if she sees like a doll or a toy that she likes, she's like, can I get that? Or a Lego set. She's like, can I get that? Can I please buy it? Can you please buy it for me? It's just like, it's like the most important thing in that moment. Like everything in the world has stopped and she just needs this now.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, 99% of the time we're like, well, no, we don't need that. Like you literally just saw it. And so I think you're, you know, you were surviving until now without this toy just fine. And we'll have her wait. And she's disappointed in the moment.
Yeah.
A couple weeks down the road, if she continues asking about it, we're like, hey, okay, well, maybe we could put it on a birthday list.
Yeah.
Maybe we could put it on a Christmas list.
Mm-hmm.
A couple more weeks have gone by. She's forgotten all about the toy. And so that like momentary disappointment.
Yeah.
Has turned into her realizing like, oh, I actually don't really need this. And then like maybe something else comes along that she would like to spend her money on. And even like in the past or with that other toy, we told her, no, like you can't even spend your own money on this because this just popped up. And she realizes, oh, now I actually have enough money to spend on this thing that I actually really have wanted for a long time. Whereas if you would have let me buy this over here, I wouldn't have had enough money. So that momentary discomfort, that momentary disappointment led to a greater pleasure later on down the road, a greater fulfilled desire because she did not get everything that she wanted along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that we see this pattern in adults too, where people can very easily, and I understand it, can very easily develop like a pattern or a habit of like buying things and shopping mm-hmm. very like whimsically.
Yeah.
Just on a whim.
Oh yeah.
Whatever it is that I want, if I see it in the store, I'm going to buy it. Mm-hmm. And whatever, if I get on Instagram and I see an ad, oh, I like that, I'm going to buy it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really dangerous way to live.
Yeah.
And again, like that's that instant gratification mm-hmm. where if you are not allowing yourself to go through life, having to wait for things, having to work for things,
yeah,
then I think that becomes really dangerous for a number of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So here's to delayed gratification
Ooh. And
treating our kids with kindness, mm-hmm. not always being nice.
Yep.
One last thought, then we'll wrap this up.
Okay.
Jesus, if you look at his life, he was, of course, the embodiment of love. He was the embodiment of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't very nice.
Right.
And that's I think, hard for some people to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus was not super nice.
Right.
He got very angry at times,
mm-hmm.
like rightfully so. But he was, you know, he would rebuke the Pharisees left and right.
Yeah.
He chased them with a whip out of out of the temple, flipped over tables.
Yeah.
Right. Nice guys don't chase people with a whip.
Mm-mm.
Now, what you have to realize is that because Jesus is love, because mm-hmm. God is love, right? You have to recognize that even like his anger,
Jesus
even
is angry.
When he was hangry,
yeah.
even his anger, and even the Bible verses that talk about like the things that God hates. Like there's that verse where God says, like, yeah. Esau, I hated.
Yeah.
You have to understand that his anger and his hatred is being filtered through the purest form of love.
Mm-hmm.
So his hatred is not like our hatred.
Right.
Because we've not learned to love the way he loves.
Yeah.
And so it's actually very different.
Mm-hmm.
But all that to say is that Jesus was extremely kind.
Mm-hmm.
Even the things that he did where he was like, that is not nice. He yeah. said some really harsh things to people.
Yeah.
But you have to filter that through the understanding that everything he did was a product of love.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he did was kind, was a form of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
So when he said harsh things to people, it probably was that idea of kindness leads to repentance,
mm-hmm.
where he's trying to get to your head.
Yeah.
He's trying to help you understand the way you're thinking
right.
about this.
Yeah.
Chasing the people out of the temple with the whip, he needed them to know this mm-hmm. is not good.
Yeah.
You need to understand the severity of what you're doing here. This
right.
is not good. And so if I need to shake things up a little bit, I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so that you understand
yes.
how dangerous this is, what you're doing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if he was a nice guy, he wouldn't have ever eaten with and hung out with tax collectors, sinners, you know, like he to appease the Pharisees
mm-hmm. sure.
in order to not cause that confrontation like we talked about.
Yes.
He would have done everything to avoid yeah. getting them mad. But it seems like he did actually the opposite. He did pretty much everything to upset them.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, you know, for the purpose of upsetting them. It was for the purpose of calling them to a higher way of thinking, to yes. realize, hey, you think you've got this all right.
Mm-hmm.
You actually got a lot of stuff wrong, yeah. buddy. You know, and so he did these things out of the kindness of his heart to show them, hey, I want you to have it right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to continue living in this way that is so far from the truth because I love you.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to ruffle your feathers because I love you. I'm mm-hmm. going to show you all the areas that you've missed it because I love you. That is not nice.
Yeah.
To be like, hey, here's all the things that you're doing wrong.
Right.
Like, that's not nice at all, but it's kind because it's showing you, hey, I love you enough
mm-hmm.
right where you're at, but I also love you enough to show you this is actually what my way is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not nice to address a group of people and to say, hey, if you're going to pray, don't do it like yeah. these guys. When you're generous, yep. don't be generous like these guys.
Yes.
Yep. If you're going to fast, don't fast like these guys. That's not a nice thing to say when those people are present.
Right.
But like we've been saying, it was his kindness to call everybody present to a higher way of thinking and a higher way of living.
Yeah.
All that to say, love is kind, but it's not always nice.
Yep.
And there's a difference. And you're not helping your kids by being nice to them.
Right.
You're helping them by being kind to them. Okay. We have a couple favors to ask for anybody listening. First, if you're listening on any audio platform, if you could do us a huge favor and leave us a good review, that is a very small thing you can do that helps us in a very big way. If you're watching this on YouTube, if you could do us a favor, like this video and subscribe. It's another very small thing that you can do that helps us in a really big way. Yes. But I think that's going to be it.
All right.
All right.
Sounds good.
Well, once again, my name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're making history. We'll see you next time.